Some of them, the sources have been written into your genetic mechanism. And all I have to do is play it again, not so your ear hears it, so your ear hears it. Well, no, ear, that's just a term. So your genetic being hears it. When your genetic being hears it, your genetic being is going to respond. So all of a sudden now, a people who didn't respond to nothing that would cheer them up are responding and they're cheered up. They're so happy now to get out of the old mood. See, they didn't want to be in that mood. Who likes misery? Nobody likes misery. So they're so thankful now to be out of that old depression, that old mood of depression, oh, that they give their whole life to this newbie. Everybody. You see, I never thought grandmama would be there. Grandmama out there, 80 years old. You never, I think, some of the children had to put their hand over their eyes. I never thought grandmama would be there. But grandmama, she's so happy too. To be out of the depressive mood that she's giving in to the rhythm too. She gets in the beat too, and she just happy. And he said, Grandma, I never thought you would do that. And Grandma said, well, it's just fun. It ain't no harm in it. It's just fun. Just having a good time. What's wrong with having a good time? You know what that record says? Don't blame it on the moonlight. Don't blame it on the sunshine. Don't blame it on the good time. They say blame it on the boogie. Well, and I told you at that time, when I gave you a talk right here, I say, check it out. I guarantee you, Stevie Wonder did not write that. Some of our people checked it out and verified it. He didn't write it. They brought the jacket and they showed. Well, that was the only number of that LP that he didn't write. The only one. Is that an accident? No, it's no accident. Means your imam is on to the goodies. Well. Don't blame it on the good time, but blame it on the boogie. What is a boogie? Have you ever heard of the word boogie? Boogeyman? So it's a hip-hop mysticism. It's a hip-hop mysticism, a mystery. Blame it on something certain. But the boogeyman, in its express meaning, is a band, but goes with the beat. It's a dance that goes more with the beat. You know, some dances, they go with the beat, but they also flow on with the melody. Right? Yeah. And usually those dances that are not so vulgar, they don't only go with the beat, they also kind of blend in, they kind of cooperate with the melody too. You know? So there's a beat and a melody. And you'll be dancing in the beat. You go with the beat, but you're conscious also of the melody, and you're flowing with the melody of the song. Out of tune, right? So those dances are much more civilized than those that purely cater to only the beat. All right. So don't blame it on some moonlight, sunshine, or good time. Blame it on the boogie. Means blame it on the scientific exploitation of your genetic mechanism. But learn how to get into your inborn responses, the natural hidden responses of your human nature. Know how to get in there and play to those responses until we get that mechanism, that inborn mechanism, to cater to their approach of work. All right? They do it to cater to their tone, their accusation. All right? Now, is this something new? No. The snake charmer. They learn that you can play certain music on the snake.
where they don't get interested in him, and once he gets interested in him, he leaves his awareness of himself being a fake. And he becomes then the tool, the subject of the music. And the snake will then just do it until the snake's trying to kill him. If he wanted to die, he would keep going. If he could keep going, the snake would keep going until he died. Well, they can meet you the same way. This is a big subject, and really I love it, because it expands to us something. But once we know it, we don't have to give ourselves to slavery anymore. Yeah. So I love it, but I won't go on with it. There's many illustrations that we could bring to show you how this goes at home. All right, let us get back now to Easter. Easter, Esther, and then there's aesthetic. What is an aesthetic? From the same word. An aesthetic is something used to put you to sleep. Or put you to sleep, right? Something used to put you to sleep. You see? So, now, if you look up the word and how other words are formed as a result of them bringing this word into existence, you can see something of their mind. In the beginning, there was the Word. And the Word took on flesh and dwelt among men. And the Word became God. That's two explanations, that's two interpretations. One is Jesus defined, but another one is defined of the high king. Yes, in the beginning there was the Word. From the beginning there was the Word. What is the Word? Word means description. Word means that knows something. Is what's around? Word means that knows something. Now, in the beginning there was the Word. What are we talking about? I'm not talking about the true people, the good people. I'm talking about the... Let me give you an answer. There never did God send any messenger with a plan. But Satan didn't devise something like this. Okay. All right? So, now, if you accept that, then follow me now. I got the other year up there. I got 2 years right now. See? Okay. Now, follow me now back on the same reason, line of reasoning. From the beginning, that was the Lord. Now, if God inspired people with knowledge in religion, the prophets, to have this idea of the Word as having an origin in the reality God created. And here is another language now, another use of the term, and we are connecting it with wickedness. Should you doubt what I'm saying? I mean, as Muslims, should you doubt what I'm saying? From our world, the Quran, and my word to us, tells us, manna. Did God inspire a messenger with something? But the devil didn't come up trying to produce something like unto it. Yes, that's how he advanced himself, by stealing from the revealed knowledge. He advances himself. He uses it for evil purposes, whereas God intended it for good purposes. So the same matters to follow, but God intended for good purposes. The wicked people uses it for the evil purpose. Now, well, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word took on flesh. What does flesh mean? Flesh means the Word took on sensitivity. The flesh is sensitive. The flesh feels. But in the beginning there was the Word, but the Word took on sensitivity. Here's a word we have in our language, a new word coming to our language. It might be purely a scientific term. But in time, we might use that word as slang. We might use it as something else. And it will take on what? Sensitivity. Right? Yeah. Let me give you an example of that. The word melon. doesn't it refer to physical things over here? It means lightning, something out from the physical world. But if I say he's love, it implies sensitivities, right? The word then implies sensitivity. Originally, it was used for knowing something in material world. Now it takes on sensitivity. We talk about wood. But it takes on a sensitivity. Wood means the product of a tree, right? But we used to say, have you got any wood, man? We need some money. Now that takes on a sensitivity. Because if you ain't got no wood, I'm going to get this wood to my own wood. So, there's many terms that originally meant nothing at all in a human environment, or a social environment. They were purely limited to a material or scientific environment. But once they came out of that scientific or material test and began to be used in a social or human test, they took on sensitivity. So, in the beginning, there was a word. There was a scientific definition. And the world took on flesh. The original science became an emotional child's world. The world that contained science became an emotional child's world. And the world took on flesh and dwelled among men. And lived among men, it became common to men. And the world became God. I don't have to tell most of you what I'm telling. Most of you, you understand I am. But just for you who can't think, listen. And you can't think because you love them by anything. You love them by what you think. Your whole life has been geared to not thinking in this way. Okay. Now, but how did the word become God? Because people are basically emotional creatures. And if you can take a scientific term, a scientific message, and if you can convert that by time, by change and meaning, if you can convert that into an emotional child word, if that child word tells the greatest child to the emotional makeup of the human being, then that child word can be used to rule those human beings. Because it is the word capable of running the greatest emotional response in those human beings. So God was originally a term that didn't turn to a drunkenness, to mental and spiritual drunkenness. God for man must meant something of reality, something of rational understanding. God must make something that is strong for him, his connection with the other realities that he's living with. God must bring for him a path out of his confusion. A path out of his confusion to some kind of rational grasp of the world all around him. But now God has become an emotional traveler. So they say, Jesus! It ain't God no more in that sense. It is an emotional child's world. Am I right or wrong? Okay, so now God, who was originally, so in the world was with God. And the world was God. I'm not talking about Quran, this is Bible. See, the world was with God, and the world was God. So when you're talking about my talent, no. What? Truth. The reality, the truth. God is in the Quran, it's called El Haqqa. Meaning that he is the truth, the reality indeed. And the world that we call reality is called what? Belief. It is called mirage. Deception. Why? Because the truth operating under the veil of materialism is the truth of that materialism. And what you see on the surface is not the truth. So you look at a tree and you say that's a tree. And you come back months later and you say that's wood. What happened? It was a tree last year. Now the year before you came back and looked at the same place you found it and you don't say that's a tree. You say that's wood. What changed that reality? past. Circumstances. The tree died. It lost its leaves and its life. And it fell down and you said, it's yours. Right? Yeah, you don't say that's a tree with this dead log laying on the ground. You don't say, oh, that's a tree. You say, that's a dead log, that's yours. That changed the definition. The scientific operation that was going on changed that reality that you saw last year. From a tree to a log, a piece of wood. Is that right? Okay. So the tree is not the reality. The principle operating in the tree to produce the tree and to bring the tree back to birth and to make the tree true and real, that's the reality. Well, right along. Yes. So you can come up with a better definition for tree when you study the scientific makeup of the tree. The scientific composition of the tree. Then you give a scientific definition for the tree. And the one who knows the tree is C-R-E-E, a big wood thing that grows up with branches and leaves, he's not paid the same thing that the one is paid who knows the scientific classification of the tree. The one who knows the scientific definition of the tree, he gets a bigger salary than that one who only knows the tree that he sees. Right? Now, what am I saying? But just as we discover a better definition for the physical things around us, there is still a better definition than that. Why? Because there is something operating behind that that is even more real, more true than that scientific principle. What is that? That's the creator who created the silence. He created the earth to operate on the principle of silence. That's Allah. So you see here, we've gotten back to our term and hack. Allah is called the reality for sure. You see? Yes. Now, dear people, those who are connected with the Easter, the people outside of them who operate life, bound life, and plan life for them, they see those people who give themselves just automatically to these cultural callings, or religious callings, if you want to call it, religious rituals and observances. They see the modern people just as the wild of yesterday saw the people who worship the god, the wild god called Bacchus. And they themselves to an emotional frenzy called Bacchanalia. It's no different. So they see you today in that same light, and they accuse you so that you conform to that kind of slavish, emotionally cracked behavior. So they come up each of them with a stick, ether, and a stick. It's a result of believing in the God, Jesus, and having that emotional attachment to him, will produce in you, in time, a brown, drunken, emotional response to that. So any time they want to calm you down, what they give you? They're about to give you what? You want to calm you down? They give you ether, right? Out on a stone. So they give you the ether out on a stone. Now, it's not all in the church anymore. The principle has been stolen. Our principle is applied to the general society. So the preacher, he used to be the chief witch doctor. And whenever the society was having problems with the master, they would notify the preacher. They would let all the preachers know But the situation in society now is pretty grave. So, preachers, you all have to step up your program. Well, if you've just been working on 2 beats, try 3 beats. Step up the rhythm. Kick it off with a big bang, so you can get control of the emotional makeup of the people. The preacher, in time, will lose his effectiveness. How come he loses his effectiveness? Because people get tired of the same thing all the time. The other thing we don't get tired of all the time is truth. Never tired of it. It's never dull. It's never monotonous. We can hear it over and over again and enjoy it with each repeater. That's true. That's why the Bible says, once you're drinking from this water, you'll never thirst again. It has a double meaning. But never thirsting again doesn't mean you won't thirst for that water. It means that you will never thirst for something outside of us. That's what it means. It means you won't want something different. People have tried that one thing, and if you get tired of it, they want something new. They're thirsty. They're hungry again. But what the Bible means is that once you get the truth, you never want something different. So we can listen to the truth on and on and on and on and on. Never get tired of it. But a story, fantasy, or something that's just made up to tick you off emotionally, if they play it over and over again, soon you're going to get tired of it. Are we breaking it? That wears out. That's going to wear out. But the principle never wears out. The principle never wears out. So all they got to do anytime they run out with you and nothing can spare you to dance or who out to the pantomiming or operation, all they have to do is go back to the ear. Go back to your inherent behavior. Pull off the shelf that once dominated you. Play it not in the same language, but using the same anything that brings it back to your inborn memory. Anything that brings it back into your inborn memory. If they can bring it out, bring it to that, then it will influence you through that is dominant. It will influence you to behave and ask for our team. So I hope that you've enjoyed this little talk. Easter. And when you scramble eggs from now on, I hope you have a good time. So the egg represents the state of the mind before it's enlightened, before it's awakened. Baptist used to be called what? Hard tail Baptist. You know what that means? Hard to awaken. See, the bird comes out of the soil, because the soil is fast enough for the bird to break. The bird sucks the soil and breaks the soil and comes out of it. But the Baptist is so hard to never bring them out of that ignorance. That's what they mean. I'm not talking about, I didn't call them that. That's what they were called by. We talk about hard core Baptist. When they thought that was a praise, something was praising them, you know. And some of them were wrong. What's some hard core Baptist? He means he's a Baptist, a liar, born a Baptist, I die a Baptist. What do you mean? We don't never see nothing but a Baptist. Well, some have to a Baptist before. And we don't know what Jacobite was playing on him, just ridiculing him, really. Saying, well, he was an idiot that can't be awakened. How to awaken. Well, all of this science in the world, how much of all the progress in the world and all that, and they still believe the same story on the same fell to a lover. That's a hard core Baptist. Well, they ain't alone, though. Most of our people in Christianity believe in sorrowful, foolishness. First, but they can't talk in a dignified setting. They feel ashamed talking the things they believe in the church when they're in a dignified setting. Now, you know, anytime a religion burdens you with a message that doesn't go above the scope of your human intelligence, make you ashamed of it when you're in dignified purpose, to even discuss it, to even say you believe it, in a religion that you shouldn't have, do you think Jesus actually rode a donkey? Do you think Jesus actually came into the city on a donkey and they put palm leaves out to spread a carpet for him to welcome him? And he came into the city of Lee-Held King? Do you think that actually happened to him? Believe me, it didn't. But the sign of the Antichrist and how he would come into his room. He rides to ignorant masses. And the palm tree was a tree whose branches grew up in the earth. To get to the branches of a palm tree, you have to go roll up, climb, roll up. What does branches mean? Branches of knowledge. The branches of knowledge are way up in the sky. Way up in mysticism, spiritualism, way up above the world. And they are not such branches that can give shade. They don't give much shade. They're so high, by the time the little small bunch of branches up there, the shadow hit by me, and you ain't got much. You ain't got much. Say if a bunch of desert people want to sit under the shade of a palm tree. Man, they're in bad shape. They'd be better to go look for a suit or something. Animal skin and try to get food and stuff. But in the desert, sometimes that's the only thing you got to save you. Because those trees grow out there in desert places, right? Yeah. Now, the fruit of that tree is cool. Sweet and cool, right? Yeah. Now, branches roll up, can't support much. You think they can build strong houses with palm branches? With the tree itself, yeah. But with the branches, no. Not with the branches. So the branches are kind of flimsy, right? Flimsy, weak. But the tree, look how strong it is. Big, strong tree, but ain't giving up much in its branches. Isn't that Christianity? A big, strong tree. But when his branches are not, what does it give us? Nothing. Nothing. And we need a carpet in this world? No. To have a carpet in this world, man, you have to have all the things satisfied that your spirit desires, your spirit requires. The human spirit cannot be happy knowing that its spiritual life is beautiful, while materially it is suffering. But it's a very known spirit. If you suffer politically, materially, academically, any way you suffer affects your spirit. So a religion that only offers you the sweetness of love for Jesus Christ, the love for God and his son Jesus Christ, it's like a palm tree that gives you a sweet boat, but no great branches to save you from the heat of this world, the comfort of this world. And if branches are so high, it take a monkey to get them, to get up there. Well, why would you have a monkey to get up to his branches? Branches are so high up. That's what you have. So they say they spread the palm leaves out for him. Put a carpet of palm leaves out for him. What does that mean? What is a carpet of palm leaves out for him? Don't you call this a palm? You call this palm, right? You call this a palm. A carpet of hair. The ignorant people of that religion put their hair.
I will help you. I give you my hand. They think they're giving out power now. It's from ballots of your own hand. Meaning that the ignorant masses of that religion will give their hands to support that team.
Who rise the buckles from ballots of the wicked masses. The masses who are really misfits in the society. They don't fit nowhere. They don't fit in industry. They don't fit in science. They don't fit anywhere. So what you gonna do with them? Give them to the king who rides the horse. I mean, the donkey. So it means this, that this religion that they were concocting or contriving is a religion for the ignorant, misfit, or unusable masses. Give them this religion, and you will be finished with them as a problem. No more problem. Who will their king be? Who can rule them? Jesus Christ? That's what you think. But this is not Jesus Christ. The Antichrist. What is the Antichrist? The manipulation of the human nature inherent mechanism. The manipulation of that is the Antichrist. Those that use fire to manipulate that and to operate the people as a mass of slaves by bypassing their intelligence. That's Antichrist. How are you Antichrist? Because the role of Christ is to liberate the intellect. So whoever devises a scheme to manipulate the intellect and use the people as just brute beasts, dumb beasts, Greek or beasts or robots, then that's Antichrist. The Christ in that picture, in that depiction, is not Jesus the prophet. It's the Antichrist. Now look at the Democratic Party. Is it their sign of donkey? Yeah, the donkey is their sign. And it is called the Party of the Masses. Is that right? It's the Party of the Masses. What did you think of that party? Did you think that party was your savior? No. That party was not your savior. And can't you see that it's the Democrats that usually work against righteousness, religion, God-fearing in the people? The Democrats don't want no God-fearing in the people. They work against that. I'm not saying they're doing this consciously, but whether they're doing it consciously or not, maybe they're not the big devil. If they're the king of the big devil, shouldn't he be on to them? And we shouldn't trust our lives to them? You trust your life to the Democrats. They're part of the scheme. And most of the Belarians are Democrats. And most of the Belarians are more Jesus-oriented than they are Christianity-oriented. Oh, what a fact of that. The people that you find that are more Jesus-oriented than they are Christian-oriented are usually the ignorant masses of the people. I don't care whether it's Puerto Rican, or Belarian, or African-American, or what. Those that are more Jesus Christ-oriented usually represent the more ignorant, the more culturally deprived, or those deprived of education in the society. Is that not a fact? No. Isn't it just something to bring your eyes to live Christ? That the Democratic Party are the people who are the party that represent the masses of those people? Most of those people we're talking about now, they are Democrats. And they are also Jesus Christ Christians. Right? Yeah. And the Democratic Party does not encourage them to be truly God-fearing people. Jesus Christ is just a discord once a week for them. As a matter of fact, I told you in the beginning, I don't think I'm ridiculing Christianity because I'm not. I'm trying to beautify the religion, take out the poison and the wickedness so we can see what really is good and throw out what is bad. They go to the churches like people go to a bar, or like people go to a disco. They go there and they have hear a lot of songs, they get the rhythm, they have a good time, and they come out and get in the same old, crazy, no good, degrading life that they were in for the 6 days out of 7 days. Yes, they go right back into it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, Christianity is a graveyard of my people. We shouldn't forget that, because he told the truth. Christianity, for most of our people, have been nothing but birth, mental birth for most of our people. So let us be aware of that. Muslims of this community, you shouldn't be Christian, you're Muslim. You shouldn't be believing in church religion, you should be believing in this Quran. You shouldn't be believing in Jesus Christ. You should be believing in Allah, Prophet Muhammad, all of his prophets, and not associating Jesus Christ with any divine or error, only with a human being as a human prophet. Yes, that's what you should be doing. And this community shouldn't be organizing itself for Democrats. You should be organizing yourself in the light of what is best for you and your kind or your lot. That's what you should be doing. And if that happened to be the Democrat, then do it. But not because of the Democrat, because what we want can best be answered by the Democratic Party. But we don't take no great boast. We don't take any boast in being Democrat. Democrats is not a religion for us. Democrats is not social salvation for us. We believe that social salvation for us rests in our own independent and distinct leadership. That's what we believe. Yes, political salvation lies in our own independent and distinct leadership. Independent means it does not compromise what is best for our lot to satisfy a party or some other interest, outside interest. Distinct means that we have our own research. We have our own analysis. We have our own mind. We have our own diagnosis of the political situation. That's what we mean. So it's not only a leadership in a political sense, but it's a leadership in a common sense. That's what gives it distinction. That's what we should do. Peace be unto you, assalamu alaikum. This religion is a religion high above anything that man can dream up. Let us never try to compare Islam, the message of the Quran, it's something that men are trying to dream up. No comparison whatsoever. Our religion is so universal, so complete, so perfect, that it compares with nothing except the creation itself. If you want to compare it with something, then imagine the whole vast universe. Stars, moon, sun, everything in creation. Imagine all of that, and then compare it. Then you have a fair comparison. Because Allah has revealed this knowledge out of the creation to be made. This knowledge is the essence of the light of the matter he created. Don't you know that? So how can a nitwit to do something like that? No. So let us put everything in its proper place. As a leader, Castro is a great man, but in Cuba. And in his own time. All right? He's not a leader for all people. He can't do that. He wasn't even trying. Yes. No. as a leader, Malcolm was great for his time, for his place. Time and place. He had a time, he had a place. His vision tells me his place. All right? Okay, so his place was his vision. So he's a great leader for his time and his place. But Honorable Elijah Muhammad, great man, great leader. For his time and his place. His time and his place. His vision tell me where his place was. He's no leader for the world. Men like that are no leaders for the world. Men who are leaders for the world, they must come from the knowledge that God has given man. Then they can be a leader for the world. That's why the prophets, as heroes for men, they outlive all of these other little personalities. Look at the big dent that Hitler made upon himself when he fell. Heavy man. But now where is his dent? Gone. A big rain came down, and no place where Hitler fell. So no sign where Hitler ever rose up or fell. Except you go to the library and look it up. Right? Well, he's not in the news, he's not on TV, he's not important for human life anymore. Little, a big, big, quick thing and gone. But look for these temporary things in life. Look for that that will last. Look for that that will last. Don't plan for right now. Plan for now and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. Don't invest just for yourself. Invest for yourself and your children's children. And the men who speak to you in the interest of you and your children's children, they deserve your ear more than those men who just speak to your present day pocketbook. To the condition of your kitchen right now, to the state of your house, your affairs now. There are men who tell us, ignore Charles so-and-so, who's trying to tell you to work for long distance goals. He's not practical. I'm going to show you how you can get some money now. So the thing that is practical is what is immediately bothering you. You're out of a job right now, right? Well, it's more important that you have a God than that you have the Quran and that Islam that Imam Rabbi Muhammad is talking about. That's what they try to tell us. But look, I'm without a God because of circumstances, because of conditions now. If my particular economic condition, a job situation, is worse off than other races, then I want to look at my race. Why is my race suffering more than other races? All right? Why should my race be suffering more than other races? All right, by you getting me a job today, is that going to solve that race problem? If you give me a job right now working for General Motors or somewhere else where I can make a possible check to take care of my affairs and not be bitten materially, is that going to take care of my problem? If my problem is connected with my race, and my race has had this problem for centuries, then this is not a short problem. This is a long, long problem. This problem is not going to be worked out by you coming with some quick solution, by you rubbing some fives on a room and putting some dollar bills in my pocket and giving me a nice car to ride around in, or putting me in a position somewhere where I look like I'm important. It's not going to be fired that way because we know too many of us have had those temporary positions. Too many of us have been in the seat of power for a hot minute, right? Too many of us have had a big pocket full of money, big pocket full of money, and still ended up in the gutter. Still ended up being despised. That tells us, brothers and sisters, that this is a problem that has to be worked out rationally, has to be worked out with an eye on what is best in the long run and not expedient. We cannot act on what is expedient. We have to act on what is best in the long run, because our suffering is the suffering that has been created over a long period of time. It is not something that affects me and nobody else. It's something that affects a whole lot of us.
So by simply preaching something to you and take care of your immediate needs or get the material things, how is that possible? That's not even possible in the disciplines of communist philosophy. Not for us. Why? Because if we are to bring about social change in America to benefit us, we have to be with other Americans. Because this is a nation. America is a nation. It is a nation that has gone to war with its brothers and sisters to preserve the unity of this nation. The union of it is called. The races, the people of this nation went to war against the spirit of the womb from their own mothers. Fought their own sisters and brothers. Cousin killed cousin. Father killed son. Son killed father. For what? To preserve the union. Now how do you think we're going to be able to come together as black separatists here in America and achieve social justice here in America when even the white man couldn't do it without doing it as one nation? White man was not allowed to do it except as a united nation. So how do you think you're going to be able to achieve something for yourself that the white man was not able to achieve with much greater support than you have? If it was possible for the blacks to unite behind this, the best we could achieve is a trip back to Africa. I said if it was possible for blacks to come together and have a consistency behind that for us to have separation and our own government, our own leadership. I say the best we could achieve was a trip back to Africa. You can't have that here. It's against the very foundations upon which this country was built. This country was built on the idea of unity. One nation. One people. We the people. We the people. All right? That's how the document starts off, is that correct? We the people. So anytime some of the people break off, then we the people are obligated to put them back into the fold. And that's exactly what they did during the Civil War crisis. They put their people back into the fold. But people who don't have to come back into the fold are being exterminated. I go back to Europe. And some of them did go back to Europe. Some of them went back to Europe. Yes. Well, let's understand that. This religion has come to us to open our eyes, to give us the strong tool of the human intellect, for us to work out our lives in an intelligent way. We're not to sit back here and press the buttons of sentimental impulses to decide where we're going tomorrow. Let's see how this black rings. That sounds good. Let's see how this money sounds. That sounds good. I think my program should be blackness and money. If you know that's how simple they come up with a solution to our problem. Blackness and money. How pitiful it is. Be able to love people for once in our lives. I say for once in our lives because the history of Africa doesn't tell me that we ever had the opportunity that we'll have today. For once in our lifetime, we have the tools for success. Plus, we have the conditions favoring those tools. And what would I look like but a fool going back picking up something that will restrict me in this fortuitous situation? I look like a fool. Well, here is the budding man, you have Chicago to work in. You have Illinois to work in. You have the United States to work in. If you like to, buddy man, you have the Western Hemisphere to work in. Why do I have this freedom? But I don't realize Muhammad, may he rest in peace. He said to them,
so that my son can go anywhere he wants to and preach that doctrine.
He was telling them, you are limited by virtue of the doctrine that you bear. You are limited. My son has broken out of that black mold. He's broken out of that limited knowledge. He's now become a one in the world of universal truth. My son can go anywhere he wants and preach the doctrine. That's what my father told his son at 3855 Woodlawn in Ashland House about a few months before he passed. Sounded like Muhammad had more vision than you have. 6 years I've been trying to show you what Bobby Elijah Muhammad saw after listening to a tape of the beginning of his son. Because I was just five now, and I don't know where I was going myself. He just listened to a tape that indicated a direction for me. I listened to just part of it. And he told his son that my son, so he can go anywhere he wants to and preach that doctrine. He said, son, we'll go anywhere you want. What he told me. And preach. After that, I left the house, I made a tour of the whole nation of Islam in the United States and outside. I went outside, too. And I visited all those places preaching. And when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed, it was the family and the national staff who presented me to the community of the leader. Well, are we gonna be limited? No, we shouldn't be limited. We should want the full measure of the dignity Allah has created for us. And we should want the full cup of knowledge that Allah has revealed for us. Not a little part of it. He has revealed to us that we have a dignity, and that dignity calls for the full measure of knowledge that He has revealed for human beings. That's the Quran. So we shouldn't accept anything less than the Quran. We shouldn't accept anything other than the Quran, because it is the only thing that satisfies my human potential, my human appetite, my thirst for knowledge and understanding. It is the only thing that satisfies my dignity. For my dignity asks that I be not the slave of created beings, but I be the slave of only the one who created everything. That's what my business was. And how come you are blessed? How come you are not happy? It's because right now you have a master over you that's not your master. Allah who created everything, He is your master. And if you are oppressed, if you are miserable, it's because you have a master over you right now that didn't create you. Yeah, that's how come you are like that. I'm not sad, I have the flu. If you have come to me and say, how you feel? Oh, I feel bad. Would you like me to stay here and keep you company? I said, no. I don't feel bad in that way. I'm not sore. I'm hurting. I ain't sore. I hurt, but I'm never sore. No. I'm not sore. My life is not miserable. I can have the flu. I can be out of money. They can throw me to court to file against me. I may be hurt, but not sore. I'm not going to be miserable. As long as Allah is the one master over me. Because these things are temporary. I know Allah can shift one gear and change the whole situation. So why should I be miserable when Allah is my Lord? No. That's what we have to understand. So dear beloved people, understand that your dignity in Islam is your real dignity. And your opportunity, your freedom in Islam is your real freedom. Nobody else can offer that to you. And when Allah guide us in the right way and protect us, preserve our faith, purify us, and admit us into His grace. Amen. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon His servant and messenger Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, upon his relatives, his companions, from the righteous, all of them. Dear beloved Muslims, in the conclusion today, I want to bring your attention
to something mentioned in the Quran concerning the life force of the Muslim mission, the Muslim Ummah, the Da'wah of al-Islam. Our whole life, in fact, is a movement. The Muslim is never static in his life. The Muslim is never without something to do. And I don't mean just the routine things. A Muslim is never one who has nothing to do. Some of us say, oh, I go to job 5 days a week, or 6 days a week, or 7 days a week, and I come back home, and it's just a routine. My life has become monotonous. I'm bored with my life. You have missed something of your religion. Because if you have not missed something of your religion, you will never be bored. Our religion is a forward-moving religion. It is always on the mind. It never stagnates. And that's what we should understand. And if your life should stagnate, then you should know this, that you have failed in something. And most likely the thing that you have failed in is the remembrance of Allah. Allah tells in the Quran that the dhikr Allah Akbar, that the greatest thing for us is what? The remembrance of Allah. First, to get Allah. For those people that God blessed in times gone past, and they were able to accomplish wonders on the earth, make great strides and establish great things for society, we read of them, they became corrupt, they went away, they're nothing now, they're gone. They went down shamefully. And we're told by Allah in the Quran that those nations who fell from their glory didn't fall until they left us first. Left us the remembrance of Allah. For as long as you remember Allah, and Allah is a dominant force in your life, then you have food. You have provision. I'm not talking about physical food. Your soul needs food. Your spirit needs food. People who get no food for their soul and their spirit, this world can give us wealth, it can give us plenty of food, it can give us plenty of women and plenty of young men, if the women like the young men. It can give us plenty of these carnal things and physical things. But if it is not giving us something for the spirit and something for the soul, pretty soon we become bored with that. Don't you know Matthew the Saab was a man who just ate so much carnal food until he got bored with it, and then he started torturing people for pleasure. Mm-hmm. And that's the society. Dear beloved people, what will revive us? What will take away the boredom from our lives? Remembrance of Allah. When you're feeling bored, remember Allah. Pray to Allah. Be sincere and earnest in your prayer. And turn to Allah and pray to Him for guidance when you're bored, when your life becomes monotonous. Remember prayer. Remember the morning prayer. The pre-sunrise prayer. Pray your special prayer. Pray your midday prayer. If you can't pray it, make up in the evening. Try to pray it in the evening. Pray your mother's prayer. Before you go to bed at night, pray your prayer. Pray Salat al-Isha. Pray your night prayer. Mm-hmm. If you fall asleep and you wake up in the middle of the night, bless the shepherd. Pray the prayer in the middle of the night, the midnight prayer that was ordered for Prophet Muhammad, but it was also good for us. You can't sleep. There's no reason to be bored. And if you do that, you'll find your life refreshed. Your spirit will be refreshed. Allah tells us in the Quran. But we have to be careful not to let ourselves slip away from Allah. Slip away from the remembrance of Allah. For if that happens, we lose what? We lose our zeal. We lose our enthusiasm. When you lose that enthusiasm, you lose the zeal, you lose the excitement for the goodness of life, for the goodness of the faith. You lose that excitement. You lose that anxiousness to keep going forward. But man, he's moved by faith and a determination. If he loses that faith and he loses the will, the spirit of determination in him, he's finished. He can't even get up out of his bed and put on his shoes unless you have some motivation. You have to have some push, some desire, some will. And something has to be there as a reward for him. He's not getting up to put on his shoes simply because he wants to put up on his shoes, but he wants to go to the table. He wants to go down the street. He wants to go to his job. He wants to go to college. There's something of a reward. Now, Allah has offered us much of a reward. And obeying him gives us the greatest reward. If we remember him, we have an incentive. Because no one can give us an incentive for life as big as that incentive that Allah gives us. No, impossible. Oh, we could talk forever on that because he has promised us so much. So the incentive is so great. But if you forget him, you forget who he promised you. No incentive. No motivation. The enthusiasm is lost. Pretty soon you can't even, well, not only will have have you dropped off from praying, or you look like into pray, but you can't even now rush it for. You start to look like rushing up. People go, oh, well, no, you should be clean, smell. You see? Well, now you can't even rush up. You can't even get up and feed the children. The children cry, and you're in the bed. You've been sleeping a while. 2 hours. 13 hours. But you feel bad, you can't get up and feed the children. You just lay up in the bed and close your eyes. You can't sleep, but you can't leave the bed. So you just close your eyes. And pretty soon your eye muscles get tired from holding them tight, and you go to sleep for about 2 minutes. And you wake right back up. You can't do anything. And just think, if we will only remember Allah, he will keep before us the great incentive for life. The spirit will be in us. We'll be motivated to do things, or we'll become the most productive people in this America. Yes. But Allah is the answer. But no matter what you do, you brother, Allah is the answer. I don't care how great a man is. But man's greatness will soon peter out. Oh, yes, is going to go out like a puffing wind if he is not grounded in faith. He has to be grounded in faith. Dear beloved people, look how many great leaders have popped up in America and have done wonders overnight. But when a great challenge came before them, they couldn't meet it. They couldn't face the challenge. They were overcome by corrupt men. And the great fire went by with as quick as he rose up.